This is Cosmic Coffee Time, the place where we take a look at what's happening somewhere in the universe in about the time it takes to have a coffee. It's cosmology in a cup. I'm Andrew Prestige, and I'm a space fan, so join me for a coffee and see where in the universe we're going this time. We'd love to hear from you. So if you want to say hi or request an episode topic, send us an email at cosmiccoffeetime@gmail.com. Space junk. There's two things about space junk. It's junk and it's in space. And it's becoming a real problem for modern spaceflight. Before October 1957, nothing had been launched into orbit from Earth. When the Soviet Union launched Sputnik 1 into a low elliptical orbit on the 4th of October 1957, it became the first human-made object to orbit our planet. Some say that was the dawn of the space age. And for a little over 3 weeks, scientists and amateur radio operators alike listened to it beeping its way around the globe. After 3 weeks, its batteries ran out. Last contact with Sputnik was the 26th of October 1957. And that was the end of the mission. But it wasn't the end of Sputnik. It continued orbiting the Earth for another 2 months. We had also, it seems, entered the age of space junk. Its orbit eventually decayed and it burned up on re-entry in January 1958. That was a short-lived episode, but it was an indicator that objects in space can linger well beyond their useful life. The 3 week mission duration of Sputnik had a tail. For 2 months and 9 days, there was an item of human-made space debris with no useful function orbiting the Earth, and there was no way of doing anything about it. It didn't matter so much because there was only one other object, Sputnik 2, in Earth orbit at that time. In 1958, the US launched Vanguard 1 into medium Earth orbit. The mission ended 6 years later when contact was lost. But Vanguard is still there in orbit as we speak, 65 years later. It's expected to stay there for 240 years. But that was a taste of things to come for space junk. Fast forward to modern times, and space junk is a real hazard for objects in space. The damage that can be done by an object moving at orbital velocity of 25,000 kilometers an hour doesn't bear thinking about, particularly for a crew in space. It's estimated that there are around 25,000 human-made objects in orbit. Only about 20% of these are functional satellites, 80% are junk, 80% of them. But that's the tip of the iceberg. These are objects that we can track or complete satellites. Small objects less than a centimeter or even a flake of paint can cause critical damage to a spacecraft. The space shuttle had damage to its windows caused by 1 millimeter flecks of paint, which made the windows unusable for the following flight. There are 130 million objects of less than a centimeter in Earth orbit. These can be nuts and bolts, frozen liquids, unburned solid rocket fuel, or anything really if a launch vehicle explodes at orbital velocity. So there's a significant risk. Spacecraft have been damaged by debris, and the risk is growing. Space junk has been accumulating for 60 years, and it's right where we don't need it, in low Earth orbit, below about 2,000 kilometers, where most satellites are, and at the higher altitude of geosynchronous orbit, which we use for weather and communication satellites. What can we do about it? We need to do something, and it's a high priority for NASA and the European Space Agency, among others. With 70 to 90 launches each year, a good place to start is to reduce the accumulation of space junk. Explosions in orbit are a real problem, creating hundreds or thousands of fragments in unpredictable orbits, so these need to be reduced. Managing intact objects at the end of their useful life will be a big part too, but what does that look like in real life? In 2007, a set of guidelines were implemented to mitigate space junk. The guidelines limit the debris released during normal operations. In the past, a lot of single-use items were just tossed away in orbit. That doesn't happen anymore. Missions have to minimize the potential for accidental breakups during operation. If launch vehicle orbital stages have a fault condition that could lead to a breakup, they must have a plan to passivize and dispose of them, rather than forging ahead and the vehicle exploding. Limiting the possibility of a collision in orbit, the mission plan must avoid the known objects in orbit. There's no more intentional destruction in orbit, or if a spacecraft has to be broken up, that must be done in a low orbit so that the pieces deorbit quicker. Minimize risk of post-mission breakups. Sometimes, if fuel is left over or pressure vessels are sealed, pressure can build up to a point where the object can explode, and this has been the cause of most of the known fragments in Earth orbit. With launch stages, any stored energy has to be depleted or made safe before any object is abandoned. Delta rockets used in the 70s were prone to post-mission explosions. One example exploded in 1991, 16 years after launch. Limiting the post-mission lifetime of orbital stages in low Earth orbit, these stages must be removed from orbit or moved to an orbit that keeps them away from the low Earth orbit region. Limiting the post-mission interference with the geosynchronous orbit region. These objects should usually be moved to a higher orbit, keeping them harmlessly away from that critical realm of weather and communication satellites. Of all these guidelines, post-mission disposal is expected to make the biggest difference to mitigating space junk and debris. Hopefully, space can be filled with things we're using rather than things we're not using. In 2020, the Pan-STARRS survey announced that they'd discovered a new asteroid in a near-Earth solar orbit and named it 2020-SO. Turns out it wasn't an asteroid after all. It was a Centaur rocket booster from the Surveyor 2 moon lander mission in 1966, launched 54 years earlier. Space junk is everywhere. Remember, if there's something in the universe that you want us to take a closer look at, send us an email at cosmiccoffeetime@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me. I'm Andrew Prestige, and I'll see you again soon for another Cosmic Coffee Time.